Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 28 minutes to 12, and we welcome on the line our guest, Mawlana Yahya Bamsar. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, how are you?
Very well, alhamdulillah. Shukran, Mawlana. Today the program is co-hosted by myself and Mawlana Naeem Dokrat, who's at our studio in Lens.
Jazakallah. Mawlana, with the month of Ramadan, the great, beautiful, the mercies, the doors, Allah has opened the doors of mercy, and the doors of Jahannam are closed, Shaitan is closed up. I mean, what more can we not be speaking about, but that Allah has given us one more chance to say Alhamdulillah, at least once, to say it out loud, Alhamdulillah. Allah has got us into the month of Ramadan, into the month of mercy, in every way, in many, many ahadith, many ayat, many different narrations. What is the month of Ramadan? And like our Hazrat used to say, it's ki qadr karlo. Let it be that you value these moments. I mean, it's like you got a chance to come once more, one more great mocha, one more chance to come into Ramadan.
Subhanallah, this is a unique opportunity, and it is a priceless opportunity. If only we could value and understand the value of the month of Ramadan. That is all that we need, just to understand and to have faith that this month of Ramadan has so much of value. And this is where maybe to a certain extent we are negligent.
Mawlana, if we look at what Allah Ta'ala has given us in promise, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was ascending the mimbar, he said, Ameen, to that la'anat that Hazrat Jibreel had put to the people, the first, second, and the one of it was that if you enter into the month of Ramadan and does not get himself forgiven. I mean, come with whatever guna you want to talk about. Come with whatever you had done in whichever shameless way. Make that tawbah and turn to Allah once in istighfar. Allahu Akbar. Accepted it will be, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. Mawlana Naeem?
Ji, Mawlana.
Ji, would you like to come in as well?
Ji, you know, the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, it is a time where Mawlana, as Mawlana had mentioned, that the shayateen are locked up. And this is a time where we should take the maximum benefit of this year to be productive in our ibadah. This is a month of where we should be really productive. So in order to be productive, in order to achieve, one of the things that I've read is that we should, inshallah, try draw up a list of ibadah that we can do. Draw up a total list of ibadah and see how we can implement different acts of ibadah daily in order to come closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a list of how much Quran we are reciting daily, and see that how we can benefit ourselves by reciting the Quran, by understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also try to benefit from the lectures and the talks of the ulama.
Mullah, great. Yes, we are talking of the many ibadahs and the ibadah that we need to turn to, and the different forms of ibadah. There are so many. But the matter that in this zamana, the darkness of the time that we are living in, when guna has become so common, Hazrat Allah Hardwi Ramdullah Ali used to emphasize over and over, and I can't find the words to express and bring forward the emphasis that he spoke about. First of all, make tawbah from the guna. Guna ko chhod do. Guna maaf karwa lo. If that happens, if we come to zero with the gunas, one is, before you get the guna forgiven, make tawbah of the gunas of the past, that Allah will not come back to it. That sincere niyyah. And with that you make, that is the biggest presentation that we can make in wanting that tawbah to get accepted. And once that happens, then any and every small ibadat, Mawlana, any and every little thing that we will do will all be accumulating in the tank of ours, and it will be just one more, even if it's a drop, that drop counts to full the filling of the tank. And if we fill in with a huge machine, a force of water into the tank, but if it has big, big holes at the bottom, the tank will never get full, Malana.
Indeed, Malana.
Malana, when it comes to giving out guna and sins, things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best or the first thing that we need to understand is have knowledge of what is sinful, have knowledge of what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there are so many of us that we do not realize what sins we are committing also, and we do not even know that what we are doing is wrong.
100% Maulana, that is why the Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi, and like that Kabair, the kitab wherein all these gunas has been mentioned, and if we start looking at them, many of them are known to a lot of people, but there are some gunas when people become surprised that is this also a guna, is this also something that we need to abstain from. So to look up what is guna, which are the guna, what do we need to abstain from, that is just as much important is the ibadat that we do and the many different forms of prayers that we do to come closer to Allah. Mala?
Mm-hmm. So, Mala, the advices that we will share with our listeners today, alhamdulillah, with regards to sins and with regards to this month, Mubarak month of Ramadan, what would we start off with first?
Maulana, among the gunas that you see, one is a major guna like going to rob a bank, a major guna like murdering, or a bigger guna like committing zina. Alhamdulillah, the average Muslim today is abstaining from those. But the guna that we normally count as little and small, ghibat, like biting, thinking lowly or evil of another person, these are the ones that we need to be really careful about, because we're thinking that we're not committing the bigger gunas, but in these which we are thinking of as little, that is where the whole drain is, and that is where everything is going away. Hazrat Allah Rahmatullah used to speak so often about one of them as ghibat, backbiting, and he said, agar ghibat ko likhne jaye, to puri diwar pe likha ja sakta. You can write it on the whole wall. The rain got a big mouth, and the ya and the ba and the ta, all huge stomachs. Puri tumhari neki ko, you can gobble it up, and you can be left with nothing. Therefore, one of the things in Ramadan is ghibat, anger, swearing, and these fuzool things that we look at on the screen and things like that, Ma.
Indeed, Malan, you know, looking at just social media of today, and the biggest time killer and time waster is that day of social media, and that's where most of the ghibah takes place. As Malan is speaking, that is one of the biggest acts that destroy our ibadah and burns up all our good deeds that we have done. And if you look at it, this is what we should abstain from in the month of Ramadan, that let us limit our time with technology. Unfortunately, today technology plays a big part in our lives, but we have to limit it and we have to use it wisely. Make sure that we stay away from that which is displeasing unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The smaller sins that we get involved with, seeing things that are not desirable to see, also on these platforms and other means, is things that take us away from the remembrance of Allah. I know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the beauty of a believer is that he shuns that which is futile. So in this month of Ramadan, let us try and avoid all that which is futile to our iman, which is not going to benefit us in this world or in the akhirah.
Ji, Maulana, with regards to technology and the way technology is number one, ghibat, lies, and the many different shots that come on the screen, I just want to move forward into one area, and that is the etiquette that will be, those that will be sitting in etiquette, those people that will allow etiquette in the etiquette in the masajid, I think one of the things that should be conditioned to the people that come and sit for etiquette, although it's adult people, although it is responsible people, but for example, the cell phone should really not be allowed in the etiquette. And people come for Taraweeh, and there also the cell phone and the sound of the cell phone disturbs a whole life in the whole Taraweeh. So before we go forward in our discussion, I say towards the end of the, when we come to the etiquette time, let these cell phones be left in the homes. Now when you go to Taraweeh, leave the cell phones at home. So how much guna is the cell phone not getting us involved into, Maulana?
Indeed, Maulana, you know, the cell phone really causes quite a bit of harm to our iman, as well as within the families. You know, we've seen many incidents, but looking at our iman itself, this month of Ramadan is a month wherein we need to rejuvenate our iman, wherein we need to try and revive our iman after 11 months. I read a very beautiful saying the other day that for 11 months shaitan has been spinning us, and this is the one month wherein shaitan is not where he has been chained. So we should not let, even though our nafs will try to go towards evil and it will try, but this is the month where we need to put our foot down and try to make an effort in order to come closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means, as adults, we understand everything has limits and bounds. So let us try and limit our usage of technology. Let us try and see how we can limit our usage of social media as well, and limit our contact with the world and increase our contact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Mawlana. Allah is so merciful, so great. Allah has got such mercy towards us, His bandas, that not only does He tell you that here's a great opportunity, come take it, the shayateen are locked out. Alright, the nafs in the spin that He has taken for 11 months might carry on, like how the fan carries on. After you switch it off, it still spins a little while. Our nafs carries on. But from Allah's side, that shaitan and the influence of shaitan is tied down. We now need to appreciate that which Allah has done. And the doors of Jannah has been opened. And all ibadat are multiplied to such levels. Like in the one place I was reading, that for every sajda that you're going to make in the Taraweeh, her sajda ke badle, in place of every one, each and every sajda, Jannat mein ek mahal banega. Can we imagine what the great value of the Taraweeh is? So let us make this Taraweeh correctly. Let us turn to Allah and appreciate all these moments, Ma.
It's all about appreciation of the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and making the most of what Allah ta'ala has given us. Now, the only way that a person appreciates something is when that person has the value of that thing in front of them. And, you know, like you have the value of a certain individual, or you have the value of a certain person, or a certain time. If you pay for a certain time to be in a certain place, then you value every moment while you are there. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, and we have received this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any doing of our own. So we have to make sure that we value it even more, because it is not from ourselves, but rather directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah, to be able to remain in that constant thought of Allah, like for example, one is the Quran reading. When you are with wudu, and when you are in your room or in the masjid where the Quran is, and now you are opening the Quran and you are reading, You are going to read 10 pages means you're going to read so many lines that makes up 10 pages. That's how you're going to read the Quran. But now when you are not in a room, you are not in your masjid, you're driving somewhere, you're going for some work, at that time also, to remain in the zikr of Allah and make value of those moments. For example, one is the two things that we are commanded in the hadith to keep on the tongue all the time. The kalima la ilaha illallah and istighfar. Why not? All the time, as much as we can. The la ilaha illallah, astaghfirullah rabbi, mean or whichever other istighfar. And if a person wants to do a little more than that, for example, we know the surahs from Wadduha to An-Nas, or many of the Alhamdulillah that know the whole of Para'am, Tabarak, they know Surah Yasin, they know quite a few such surahs and ayat. Who says that you need to be sitting in front of the Quran only to read these while you are driving? Why not start reading Qul Huwallah repeatedly? That is also Quran. Why not start reading Wadduha downwards? That's also Quran. And in this way, you can keep yourself engaged in Quran reading. One is that while we are in our workplace, and one is that when we sit down in front of the Quran, either in the masjid or in our home. Malana?
Malana, you know, indeed, that is the honest truth, that we should use these moments to benefit ourselves. Another way, I think, Malana, that we can, in places where people cannot recite the Quran, is that by following just the mere sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by implementing certain du'as, by reciting certain du'as, especially those people who want to remain in the remembrance of Allah, I think by reading the certain du'as at that times also, we will be in the total remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by reading the du'as before entering where we cannot recite the Quran, where we cannot recite dhikr, for when we're going to relieve ourselves, even they, if a person recites the du'as before entering and leaving the bathroom, at that time they also, that person will be rewarded for his time spent that where he could not remember Allah.
Bishak, all the time. One is the ibadat through the reciting and reading, and one is through amal and our action to carry on doing all that. And by far more than that is the good actions that we will do in our trade, the honest actions that we will do in our interacting with people around us, non-Muslims. I mean, wherever we are, if they see what is this Muslim doing, what a wonderful reaction from this Muslim. Malna, if we go one step further, we have in our homes, although we can't go to Soweto or we can't go to some place where we want to go and do dawah the way we think dawah is, we have in our home that very same person that is from there working. And if we show them our good akhlaq, our good character, and if they have to go back to their homes and say that although this is my home, I was waiting to come, I feel very comfortable with that Muslims. I want to be part of their religion and their deen. When it's eating time, when they treat me, when they talk to me, I mean, the very same thing can be said in a harsh command, but one is we say it in a better way. What a difference will that not make? I mean, look at Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, that just passed away. Allah Ta'ala give him maghfirah and jannah. I mean, anybody look at boxing, and if you try to reinterpret boxing, you will say that is dead and no go. It is wild, it is hitting. But through that means, how did he not propagate the deen of Allah? On one occasion, one of the places where I was seeing, where he's asked about who is your bodyguard, and he makes a full dawah of Allah, and Allah is my bodyguard. In this way, he fought against injustice at that time when to be a Muslim and to be black was the last thing he ever wanted to be. He stood firm. He said he will not go into war at Vietnam. he will want to propagate the word of peace to the people of peace. Maulana, wherever we are, that means, if there, anywhere else, you can make the deen shine wherever you are, in whichever condition you are, Maulana.
Indeed, Maulana, that is what we can do, and we have to understand that we are the ambassadors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us with a purpose in this world, and that purpose is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is, we need to make the effort in that direction, and this is what the month of Ramadan is for, to rejuvenate our iman, to reaffirm our intentions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to attain nearness unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Maulana, can we? I've received a question from a listener. Maulana, can you hear me?
Ji.
With regards to Taraweeh Salah for ladies, can you please explain how ladies should perform the Taraweeh Salah?
Yeah, the Taraweeh Salah, the ladies will be making the Salah at home, and that's normal in our homes. So if she's making at home, she will make the 20 rakats, 2 rakats at a time. And if in many homes, in Indonesia it is such, there are many homes where the family has huffaz, and all these huffaz cannot read in the masajid. Therefore, they will go and do the first namaz in the masjid, the men folk, and then they may come home and make a taraweeh at home with the females, where the females will follow the males. The only thing is, if there is ghair mahram there, then there should be a curtain, or there should be in another room, and the people that are reading and leading, they are in another room. But taraweeh, they should be, if it's alantara, if they're reading by themselves, but if they call in their huffaz, Allah has given one or two or a few huffaz in the family, then get them back and let them lead the taraweeh. We, alhamdulillah, Maulana, for example, last night it was 10 suparas in one night. It will be 3 nights wherein the Quran will be read. Thereafter, the hafiz, he will be going to read at certain venues where the ladies will follow, and they will get the chance to make the Quran khatam also, inshallah. Maulana?
MashaAllah, 10 Jews a night.
Last night we had 10 Jews. Tonight we'll have 10 Jews. And inshallah, tomorrow night we will have 10 Jews. In this way, he will be making the first khatam in 3 nights, inshallah.
MashaAllah, that is really something special. And we have to really be grateful that in this country, Allah Ta'ala has given us individuals like this completing the Quran in 10 nights.
People were about 150 to 200 people were there in the khatam. And I have been telling them that, see, no jumping up when you go into ruku. You remain in taraweeh right through, and so many, it was really admirable, Maulana. Young people also, and the old. I was very surprised that old people were also there to do the taraweeh.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah, yes. And alhamdulillah, here in Ermelo, I think for the first time ever, there's one venue that we are having completion in 15 nights. Not that we've always had in 29 nights, and then 27 nights used to be in the past, but now for the first time in Ermelo, completion in 15 nights as well, inshallah.
Yeah, and like that, well, we have many venues in Indonesia where it is 3 suparas a night, every 10 nights one khatam.
Alhamdulillah.
People are making qadr of the month of Ramadan. Make that qadr. These are the times when the floodgates are opened, and if we can't take this qadr now and get ourselves forgiven, then cursed be that person. That was the curse of Hazrat Jibreel, and Sayyidina Rasulullah said, Ameen to it, because this is a great chance which has been given by Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, Jazakumullah khairan for your time this morning, and inshallah, Aziz, we'll speak to you next week, Tuesday.
Inshallah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Maulana Naeem Takra, Jazakumullah khairan for co-hosting with us. And inshallah, we may express our thanks to Brother Ziad Khan, our studio operator this morning. Shukran to the listeners of the program from Junaid Jassat and Naeem Dokrat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.